Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our special guest, the founder and head of the Moderate Party of Rhode Island, Ken Block. Thanks for joining us, Ken.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
After initially declining to do so, Governor Lincoln Chafee this week released a report made by our guest, Ken Block, on waste and fraud in state government. Ken, tell us, do your findings really live up to your initial pitch to identify between $100 million and $250 million in waste and fraud?
Well, this is the most inventive way I've seen yet to try and get me to divulge numbers. We're not talking numbers right now. We're just talking high-level executive summary descriptions of what we found, and numbers are coming at a later date.
Let's get your reaction to these findings, Scott, and also to Governor Chafee's handling of this issue.
Well, the governor didn't handle it very well, but that said, with all due respect to Ken, this is much ado about not very much so far. An awful lot of this focused on food stamp, which frankly is a total federal program. It doesn't save a dime of state money to catch somebody scamming on food stamps. And I guess what I wonder is, so much, you know, the ACI, a lot of talk show stuff here and things for people to jump on government on, but not much on the $1 billion of state money that goes into Medicaid. I mean, my wife, who's a doctor, looked at it and said, oh, this is great. That means you're going to find the doctor who saw one Medicaid patient but billed for three, or the nursing homes or the doctors. That's where the money is. It's not in food stamps.
Let's give Ken a chance to respond. What do you say?
This is an initial report. There are a great many things happening that were not described in this report, and that's really the best description I can give you right now.
What do you take? What's your take on this, Maureen?
Well, my question for you is just in a general way. So far, can you at least tell us, do you find anything particularly startling in this in terms of other states? In other words, you've done work in Texas. How do we shape up in a general way? Rate of corruption, rate of people on welfare assistance and that kind of thing. What's your general sense?
The areas that we're data mining in right now are problem areas in every state, no question about it. We see, if you just search for food stamp fraud and convictions and that sort of thing, it's endemic across the country. We know that Medicaid nationally, there's been plenty of studies that show how tremendous the fraud and waste are within that program. And Rhode Island is now has some significant efforts underway to look at, identify, and handle a bunch of these different types of problems.
So you seem to be saying the governor's doing the right thing.
This report is absolutely the beginning of a very, very much the right thing to do moving forward, yes.
And just to sew up our discussion on this, Ken, you own a software company, but why did it take someone like you to get the ball rolling on this? Aren't there other people with this kind of technical expertise in state government who could do the same thing?
In my experience, state governments don't specialize in this sort of thing, not at all. In fact, our computer systems are really pretty ancient when you really look into it. So it takes some very specialized skills, and it takes very nimble capabilities, and neither of those two things are usually found in state government.
The state Senate this week unveiled a legislative package of 25 bills meant to add jobs and improve outside perceptions of Rhode Island's business climate. Maureen, what do you think? Is this enough to really make a significant difference in Rhode Island's economy?
I think it's a good start, and I like the idea that, let's remember, this is called moving the needle, and I think that's a good thing. We've been talking about the fact that there's no silver bullet. And what we really need to back up to is initiatives across the board that suggest different ways in which we can kickstart the economy. And this package talks about tax incentives. It talks about spending, for example, for childcare. It talks about process and data. I think it was the thoughtful first step. I think it was delivered in the appropriate way, and it gives the legislature something to work on in terms of improving the economic climate.
Ken, what kind of marks do you give to the Senate's moving the needle legislative package?
I don't have a complaint with any of the individual specific bills that are there. What's missing is really diving into the core of some of the things that are broken in the economy, though. We've highlighted to the Senate president through the Small Business Association of New England our broken unemployment insurance fund and the big deficit and its $1 billion impact to our businesses over the course of 10 years. The TDI program costs $720 a year to a solid middle-class citizen, which is incredibly expensive insurance. And these things affect quality of life. These things affect the business climate, and that's what's missing from this report.
Scott, you have to acknowledge, even if the General Assembly is very late to intervene on the economy 5 or 6 years after Rodon went into the recession, this Senate legislative package does seem fairly detailed.
I just think it's too much about perception and not enough about reality. Moving the needle, this is all in reaction to what some of these, frankly, biased national surveys are, CNBC, and so that will rate us 50 or 20 or whatever you want to rate. And I just think you have to look at, these are the same people, by the way, who every single one of them supported the Kurt Schilling loan deal. Hello.
The State Board of Elections has decided to retain its director, Robert Kando, after a closed-door meeting. The board was upset with Kando because he had backed legislation on the board's behalf without first checking on the board. Ken, you've had a lot of experience dealing with the Board of Elections. How well do you think it is doing in serving the public?
I think the board has a ways to go. I found them to be a very non-transparent agency, a board. They butcher our open meetings laws incredibly. And I have had, you know, numerous run-ins with them. I don't know how else to describe it except as run-ins. And they shouldn't have been. So, you know, from my perspective, I don't think they're firing correctly at all.
Yeah, I really think I'd be more critical. I mean, I think we really have to think about revamping the whole process. I think this is kind of like the last bastion of patronage positions. There are 14-year appointments. I mean, it's really like out of the 1950s. And I mean, I think we really have to seriously look at this, not only in terms of what they're doing, but look at the whole package. People are always saying, what is the Secretary of State doing? Now, I realize why there's a division, but I think we have to reorganize the whole process and perhaps let the Secretary of State play a larger role.
You know, that's,
but certainly look at the picture.
That's the key problem, is what you have is you've got this bifurcated, this split responsibility and authority where it looks to me like nobody is responsible when they don't want to be. And so it'd be nice if we had one nonpartisan agency that was divorced from either the Secretary of State, who's an elected official, or this Board of Elections. I mean,
that's what the Board of Elections is supposed to be. They're supposed to be
a non-elected
body. We understand that.
The Secretary of State, for instance, controls the ballots. And you can't have that and expect the Board of Elections. It's just a crazy system.
Lastly, we saw a situation this week in which Speaker Fox has punished a former member of his leadership team, Pawtucket Representative Patrick O'Neill, after O'Neill helped to orchestrate a committee vote in favor of a move to strengthen the Ethics Commission and its oversight of the General Assembly. Ken, let's get your reaction here.
Yeah. I went to a Master Lever hearing and an Ethics Commission fight broke out. I had a first row seat to the rescission of a vote by the committee the previous night to pass Ethics Commission reforms. And this is crass politics happening. This is a political fight. And for me, it's a shame that this very necessary legislation is being held captive due to really silly political reasons. And I don't pick a side on either side of this fight, except for the fact that this legislation needs to go. And it's this kind of monkey business that hurts Rhode Island horribly. And what we need to do is we need to get these common sense ideas like the Master Lever, like the Ethics Commission. They should be sailing through our legislature, because there's hardly anybody in the public who opposes these ideas. They want them done, and yet the year over year over year, they don't get done. So this is the biggest problem Rhode Island faces.
Scott, what kind of fallout do you expect from this kerfuffle between Speaker Fox and Representative O'Neill?
I don't expect any fallout. This is what happens at the State House. I mean, it's like Casablanca, Ken, you know? You just said it was raw politics. God forbid that there might be politics at the State House. Other thing it reminds me of is that the public doesn't watch much. You had a front row seat, but it's like nationally. 91% of the people are for stronger gun laws, but the NRA blocks them through Congress.
Well, let's talk about the optics of this. Representative O'Neill quit Speaker Fox's leadership team when O'Neill had a tough re-election fight. Doesn't this work to his perceptual benefit if he hopes to try and claw his way back into leadership down the road, Maureen?
No, because I think really what the underlying dynamic here is, this legislation is particularly threatening to all legislators because there are real problems with it. I don't think we can get into it. But
the House has passed it before, though.
We understand that, but what I'm saying is, so I think in that sense, O'Neill has put himself in a very funny place because he's fighting with the Speaker. But the underlying dynamic is, I don't think the legislature wants to take a vote on this. And so I don't think in the long term it's going to help him.
All right. We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the founder and head of the Moderate Party of Rhode Island, Ken Block.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.